All right, what do you say we get rolling? Hello, everybody. This is Jake Ward from the University of Maine. I've been the primary liaison with Monhegan Island and Monhegan Energy Task Force for the years that we've been exploring this project. Last week and a half ago on August 5th, we made an announcement that we have a new partner involved in the offshore wind project. That is a new company called New England Aquaventus that was formed by Diamond Offshore Wind and RWE Renewables. Today we have set up this Zoom meeting in collaboration with MEDIF to be able to introduce you to the new developers. Chris Wisseman is the primary lead for the project, working through NEAV, and he's going to introduce his team that are here to continue to support the development of the project. And give you a little overview of the company and its goals and objectives. And then as time allows, we'll take a little bit of question and answers. So I'll turn it over to Chris at this point, unless Winnie, you want to say anything as a MEDIF or Jim? Nope.
I think Chris should take it away.
All righty.
All right, good. Good. All right. Well, thanks, Winnie. Hi, all. I'm Chris Wisseman talking from the mainland, not far from Port Clyde. I am a board member of the partnership and one of the leaders of development here in Maine. I wanted to introduce to you, he shows up on the top of my screen, Duncan. Duncan, you want to say hi to everybody?
Good afternoon. Pleased to be here. So,
all right. Excellent. And David, who we don't see a video of, David is reporting in from Rockland. David, you want to say hello? And if not, we'll carry
Hello.
On.
You're on. Hello, mute. Everyone. Nice to meet everyone. Sorry, my video's
and
not.
Last but not least,
cooperating.
No worries. Thanks, David. And then Genevieve is our most recent addition to the team. Genevieve is I'm not sure exactly where she's reporting from today, but it helping us very much. Work with fisheries and kind of think through what research can really be constructed here. Genevieve, say hello.
Thank you, Chris. Hello, everybody. I am calling in from Stonington, and I'm very much looking forward to being on Monhegan tomorrow.
Terrific. So that's a good segue. So several of us that you see here are actually headed out tomorrow to get to know the island. Me personally, I first set foot on the island in 1972. So been back there many times in between then and now, and we'll be really pleased to help show people around, that's for sure. So yeah, so what New England Aquaventus is the partner that the University of Maine has been seeking for quite some time to actually, I'll say, take over development and take this project from the idea stage to eventually built. And the two companies that are involved, and Megan, if you can put up on the screen maybe the first slide or two of the PowerPoint. The two companies that are involved, and I'm assuming that people haven't seen the press release or the articles, but it's Diamond Offshore Wind and RWE. And the next slide, please. That would be great. And we formed together these two companies. Back one. The two companies have formed a 50-50 partnership to develop the project. And that's really bringing together two really big world-class companies that are actually quite interested in offshore wind and floating offshore wind. So the highlights on the Diamond side is if you follow us up the chain, are actually owned by Mitsubishi. You can imagine Mitsubishi in Japan has a lot of interest in floating offshore wind in and around the island of Japan, for instance. RWE is one of the very early founders in offshore wind in Europe. They are now number two in the world in offshore wind in terms of the projects they built, projects they own, and number four in the world in renewable energy overall. And so RWE is actually involved in not only a lot of fixed bottom foundation projects, but also two other floating foundation projects in Europe. So they bring a lot of engineering, a lot of history, and a lot of know-how. Yeah, Megan, if you go to the next. And we will do these slides pretty quick. I don't want to really give people death by PowerPoint, but just to show you that really the top two companies in the world in offshore wind actually make up a really dominant, together they're like more than 50% of the entire industry. So we are a big team that has a lot of experience. We know how to get this stuff done. This will be its first of its kind. This design has not been built yet. So that's part of what you'll see later in this presentation. It's going to take us a few years to actually get this built. Megan, next. And there are, this PowerPoint, I believe, will show up on your website. So I know nobody can read all of these details, but I do want to just give you a flavor for Mitsubishi worldwide. It truly operates around the world. We have investments in four big offshore wind projects in Europe. And these are not one and two turbines. These are projects that are measured in the 50 and 100 turbines. They're really big commercial scale projects that are very, very common in Europe at this stage. We're also the biggest owner of transmission, offshore wind transmission lines. In Europe, if you can imagine the North Sea and the UK, and believe me, I didn't know all this stuff until I got into offshore wind, but Denmark, the UK, Germany, France, they're all pretty close, and they're all really big industrialized countries, and so there is a lot of offshore wind and coordinated transmission that brings that power into markets in the various countries. So we're a big player in that, actually have billions of dollars invested just in transmission. Next slide, Megan. And so RWE, similarly, is big, spread out now around the world. It has a footprint in most continents, and most important for this discussion is actually number two in offshore wind in the world. And it's interesting, we've had a great time actually working our partnership entirely on Zoom. This is our method of communicating. And the challenge that we work through on timelines, just like everybody in this weird environment, is figuring out how to manage a project when some of our guys actually are not allowed to set foot in the United States. So we're hoping that that door opens pretty soon and we'd actually start to have some of those guys show up locally. I can't wait to show the island to some of those guys. Next slide. And I think this is probably where we sort of bring it down to the things that you all are most interested in. Although I'm glad to answer any questions for sure on the two entities. But really, I think for you all, what we wanted to do is give you our view of the project. Now, recognizing that we're picking up where the university left off. But as I say, sometimes we don't know everything that the university has done to date. So we're on like day 10 of development. We're getting there. We don't have all the answers. We know what we're working on, and I'm glad to answer any questions I can. We did just open an office in Portland. We're not allowed to go there much, but we have an office in Portland. We are really focusing right now on outreach to the fishing community. To a great extent, there's apprehension and has been apprehension, and what we want to do in this project is ultimately be a bridge between the fishing community and all of the various interests involved in offshore wind. And I say that because the federal government ultimately manages the ocean beyond 3 miles, and it is a little bit like a juggernaut that is coming. There are plans to allow offshore wind in the Gulf of Maine. We think it would be prudent to build only on research that demonstrates how people can operate out around these things, how right whales can operate around these things, how fishermen can fish. So that's really what we want to be in this project, is the clearinghouse for real information. So we're 10 days into this, so we don't have all the answers and we haven't reached out to everybody. In fact, you guys are getting the most in-depth briefing. We're working on that third bullet there, which is identify cable landing. We have ideas, we have communities we want to start working with, And that will just emerge here over the next few weeks and months. And again, it's one of those things that's difficult when we can't show up and meet with people. The fourth one is probably almost as important to you all as anything, in that this project was conceived of as recently as a few years ago with two turbines. Those turbines are no longer manufactured. And that's just common in this industry that changes very fast. And so we're now engaged with the three big suppliers, MHI Vestas, Siemens, and GE, to try and arrive at a turbine that actually works here. More to come on that. We will engage with this group and the task force for sure later in the fall as some of these details start to emerge. It'll probably be October, November before we have a really good idea. Then we're doing a lot of engineering. We are, part of the engineering is the foundation. It's no longer 6 megawatt turbines. It's likely to be bigger. We're doing a lot of work with Chinbro to figure out how to build the foundation and the project. And then we're really starting all the work on permitting and greater public outreach. And that will be something that will emerge in the fall when we start to really look more at cable landing and starting the permitting. So the rough timeline on the bottom there is that we hope to designate a cable landing really in the fourth quarter this year, probably towards the end of the fourth quarter. I would assume November, December. And then start our permit applications in early 21. Hopefully have permits in hand. And what we call notice to proceed is a fairly technical term, but that is basically when we have permits, we have contracts in hand to start buying things and building things. That would happen in early 22. And then really the jobs and the mobilization on actually building starts up at Chinbro's yard and brewer in 2022. We would plan right now that the turbine arrives in Searsport, where a lot of turbines show up today, and in the spring of 2023, and then everything is assembled on the foundation and towed out to sea that you see on the right, summer of 2023. And probably, and this is one of the things we'd work out with you all, that would be a pretty big, interesting thing to see. You might want it in the summer, you might not want it in the summer. This is one of the things that we could work out. It might sort of logically happen in September. So these are the sort of things that we imagine we would work with you all on over the next couple of years. So that's really all I wanted to impart to you today. I am glad to answer questions about the partnership, the project, the extent we know, and then I'll punt everything over to Jake, anything that I don't know. So if you have any questions, I think, Megan, you were suggesting that people could chat, but I think we've got a reasonably small group. We may be able to open up the lines. Winnie, any recommendation on? We could just open up, unmute everybody. Anybody that wants to talk, I think we can try it.
I think that's a great way to go. If anybody has any questions, just unmute and ask away.
So I have a couple of questions. My name's Donick. I haven't actually met most of you before. Donick Farrell, and I'm a year-round resident on Monhegan. Can you talk a little bit about the NEPA permitting process? I'm specifically curious about what the status of that is now. The last that I knew, of anything on it was like 2017, and it hadn't seemed to move much further forward than that. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious about what the status is.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And how the difference in scope of the project is going to affect what studies have been used previously and whether they can still be used previously, can be used mm-hmm. now. So that's my first question.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll give you what I know. I'm not a permitting specialist, but I have been through it in other projects and know enough about it to be dangerous. So here's what I know. It was largely suspended for the last few years. And I'm not sure exactly, I couldn't peg the year, but I think probably 2017 sounds about right. and it is waiting for us to restart it. And the two things that it's waiting for is what turbine and where does the cable go? So those are the two of the absolutely final things. There are a couple things to note is that we have, and I'll say the royal we, because it wasn't me necessarily, but representatives of this team have consulted with the agencies and said, okay, we're going from two turbines to one. And the agencies have informally thus far opined that, well, it's gotten smaller. So on birds, for instance, it's gone from two turbines like this, and this is very figurative, Danik. I don't know if you can see me if you're on the telephone, but from two turbines this size to one turbine this size. So it's a very marginal increase by single turbine, but now you're going down from two to one. So they're saying less swept area, less impact on birds. That's one. The things that are outstanding that we can't answer until we do some more work is when we designate a cable landing and we complete the cable route survey, then we'll actually know where the cable goes and how much of it ends up being buried, how much goes over rock, and all those sorts of things. So we don't have those answers right now. So we'd anticipate that we will start the NEPA process up internally, right? And so the NEPA process is taking all of that data in the past and putting it together into a project description and having that project description vetted by the powers that be, and then it gets publicized for public comment. We don't see that happening, that really NEPA public comment, until probably next spring by the time it really gets started up again. How they do it, Danik, is a question. It may be just the public forum might be this. It may not be actually public meetings. And I think that you had one more question in there that I might not have answered.
Before I move to that one, the new single turbine is less sweep area, but it's also taller. So I'm mm-hmm. interested in how that is going to affect birds. What's the name
right,
of the
so RWE?
Did you say that RWE has floating turbines in Europe right now? Floating offshore turbines?
One, and then another one is being built. Yep.
And are those comparable in size to the one proposed for here?
No, the one that was already built is smaller. It was a then current, as of about a year ago, smaller turbine. So what they did to make it cost effective was, so if you can imagine, in Europe, there are designated research sites that already have the cable out to a site. And so what they do is allow sort of short term. So they literally took a secondhand turbine, 3.6 megawatts, and put it on a foundation to be able to verify its results. It's a little different plan than we have here because it was because the government of Scotland had actually had the foresight to build this demonstration site. So there's all sorts of things. There's wave power generation that are tested out there, and there's different types of floating foundations.
I guess that's my question
No, go ahead.
So my question goes to whether the company has already worked with or put in place turbines that are as large as the one proposed for Monhegan, and what they have noted the effects are on anything that flies and anything that swims. Are their projects comparable enough to make that information useful?
Yes. So the turbine. So these are good questions. So the models that we're looking at have mostly been installed in Europe. I mean, to the extent that there's of the MHI Vestas and the Siemens, there are more than 100 of that scale operating and hundreds of just smaller versions. So sort of eight megawatts or somewhere in there. And there's a huge body of evidence in Europe that shows that the birds, by and large, acclimatize to these. And imagine these are big wind farms. And one of the things early on that they discovered is that if you put the wind farms in the turbines in rows that kind of match the way that birds fly along the coast or wherever it may be at that location, that they're actually very good at just flying up the alleys. And so pretty much offshore wind has been found to be, you know, a good sort of coexistence with birds in particular. We have a little different marine mammal environment here than in Europe. We have whales and things like that. So that's part of the idea of research is just verify how this project works. Yeah, there's a lot of data. If you contact, or you just give us, I don't know if you want to give your email in a public forum, but if you hit the contact us, or we can work through the task force to give you our contact information, we can share information with you for sure.
Okay, that would be great. And then I guess my other question, I think I'm not sure that you're in a position to answer right now, is do you have a landing site inshore? Have you chosen a community?
Not
yet. Has the community accepted you?
That is the thing that we're starting.
Right. Okay.
Not yet. We really haven't. We haven't out yet. So that'll be the thing that really is designated, you know, sometime October, November, when we can start engaging. We have enough time and can start engaging with communities. Okay. So right now it's kind of very, we're consulting with different community groups and NGOs and fishermen to sort of gather opinions, right? And better refine where acceptable cable landings might be. So stay tuned.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Anybody else? Questions? Or, I mean, I do want to say, Duncan, I realize our website is brand new. I just want to verify that the contact us button works.
Yes. If you click on it, it will send an email to my computer and I will be first responding to say that I've received it. And if there's questions or whatever's necessary, I will get back to the individual as quickly as I can. But yes, we have that. And then we file all that information to start developing a subscription list. So as we have more material, we can let people know that we've added material to our website.
Okay. And Megan, can you share your screen again and just show the opening slide that has the our web address on it?
Yep, you're reading my mind.
I have to admit to everybody, there's not perfect. There's not much there yet, I have to admit, but you can see at the bottom of the screen, it's New England Aquaventus. It all flows right off of your tongue. NewEnglandAquaventus.com. And so we will be building this website, and Danica, that's how I say it correctly. We would be glad, if you think that there are things that people would want to know, like historical cohabitation with birds and things like that in Europe, just hit the contact us and just send that suggestion in. We would be glad to start like posting things like that, if that made sense.
And Chris as well, I'm looking for to meet tomorrow with other members of the Energy Task Force as it relates to their website so that we can coordinate information on our website that's consistent with their website, which is consistent with the technology that's being updated on the University of Maine website. So looking to make sure that as much information can be put on all the websites for people to get a best idea of this project.
Terrific, thanks Duncan. So Winnie, anybody else that you know is just itching to ask a question but that hasn't jumped in yet?
I think that anybody who had a question would feel pretty comfortable jumping in.
I mean, if no one else is going to jump, if no one else is going to jump in right away, I will ask one that Travis asked me to present. He's not able to attend, and I'll just read what his question was. Previously, when the proposal was two turbines, we were told that it was imperative that there be two of them to study how they interact with each other. Is that no longer imperative? And I guess an extension of that
really
for me. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so I'll answer that one first. Sorry to cut you off. Zoom has that weird lag.
Yeah, that's
sometimes.
Fine.
So it would be really, really useful to be able to study two. We're not allowed. First of all, two would be two of these bigger ones, and it's more power than we're allowed to transmit. So that's a loss. We would actually have preferred to build with two. So it curtails the amount of what I will call research that can be done about how they interact with one another, but also how fishermen interact with multiple turbines. Part of what we would have liked to study is how easy it is to transit between turbines. I think that's some of the misinformation that's out there with fishermen, is the concept that they will not be able to fish amongst these. That's a lot easier for people to get used to if there were two that people could drive around. If there's only one, it is a loss. But it's still very useful to test how we build this thing, how ultimately cost-effective it is, and as the basis for basically deciding whether or not these can be done in the Gulf of Maine in the future. So Danica, part two.
Oh, so this is just going to be the one. That's definite.
This is just going to be the one. Yep. Unless lightning strikes, it will be one turbine. Right.
Okay.
Yep. We couldn't buy, there aren't two that we could buy that are the right scale. Yep.
Got it. Thank you.
Sure.
Chris, this is
there was a corollary, I thought, to that. Go ahead, Derek.
Oh, yeah, I've been working on the visual assessment of the project with the university, and I wonder if the location for the new single turbine has been determined yet.
I believe it is the southerly of the two.
Yes. It's the southwest location, Chris.
Yep. So Terry, glad to, and Terry, we'll be working together once we do determine what turbine it is. What turbine it is will impact that, you know, those visual. And we hope to, I'm going to show Duncan what it looks like from the top of the cliffs tomorrow.
It will be a landmark or a sea mark.
Mm-hmm. For sure. All right, well, I'm all yours. I mean, you might recognize some, I don't know, I hopefully that you are getting lots of day trippers out. We're actually going to stay overnight tomorrow. But if you see folks that look like us walking around the island the next day or two, we'd be glad to engage whenever it makes sense. All right, if I hear no other questions, I think that's pretty much what we've got for you all tonight. Thank you, really. Thank you for your time. I actually look forward to working with you over the next couple of years. Really, really appreciate it. All right, I think that's what we've got. Winnie, all good? Jake?
Yeah. Go ahead, Winnie.
I was just curious about what the plan was for tomorrow.
Really, we're going to show up on the you know whatever 12. What do we get there? 11:30.
We're on the 10:30
and yeah, so we showed up around 11:30, and we are staying at the Island Inn. We're going to take a walk around the island and have a couple of beers at the brewery, and probably be back to the Island Inn for dinner. We take off. We do a bunch of Zoom calls in the morning, so we might be clogging up your bandwidth. And then we're taking off on the 12:30 ferry next day.
Hey, Winnie, do you want to give me a phone call after this call is over? And I don't mind giving you my phone number over this meeting. It's 266-5113.
266-5113. Okay.
Hey everyone, Evan Houck with the Lincoln County News here. Chris, I just wanted to get everybody's titles and companies right. Are you all representing Maine Aquaventus, or are you representing Emmett Offshore Wind? I just wanted to make sure I got that right. Oh,
So we all work for Diamond Offshore Wind. We are, in this case, representing the partnership because it is midnight over in Europe, and none of our European partners are here in the U.S. right now.
Okay.
Except for me. I actually don't work for Diamond Offshore Wind. I am a consultant that has been hired by Diamond Offshore Wind.
Okay. Cool. Sounds good. Thank you.
Sure. And just for clarification, New England Aquaventus LLC is the new partnership formed between Diamond and RWE, and they are taking the place of Maine Aquaventus in the development. So Maine Aquaventus will no longer have a function in the development at this point.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, thank you.
So in the end, Evan, I'm not sure if you saw the beginning of the presentation. So yes, the partnership, New England Aquaventus, will design, build, own, and operate the project. The university is designing, and the university is continuing on to do the research around the performance of the project, and then we'll be also involved in some environmental research on how the project kind of works with the natural environment, you know, it's birds, bats, mammals, all that stuff.
All right, great. Sounds good.
Okay. Thanks, Evan. All right, hearing no other questions and seeing that it's almost cocktail hour, I would make a motion that we all adjourn. Jake, good?
I'm good.
All right, thanks, everybody. Appreciate it. Take care.